Our summer worship series this summer is called The Blazing Center. It's about how the Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus. We're spending these first several weeks learning about the Holy Spirit, and then we'll be turning to the book of Acts in the New Testament, where we discover how the Holy Spirit of God founded the New Testament people of God. So today we're focused on just some very basic introductory information about the Holy Spirit as they come to us in the text from John, the Gospel of John that was just read for us. Our questions are going to be these. First of all, who is the Holy Spirit? Secondly, what does the Holy Spirit do? And third, how can I experience the benefits that the Holy Spirit offers me? So first of all, who is the Holy Spirit? The pronoun that I just used tips you off. I used a personal pronoun. We don't say, what is the Holy Spirit? We say, who is the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible's clear teaching is that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a spiritual energy, not a spiritual power, not an impersonal force, you know, like something coming out of Star Wars, let the force be with you, Luke, that kind of thing. No, no, this is the Holy Spirit of God, a person. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Grief is an emotion. Persons have emotions. Energy, power does not have emotions. I mean, no electrician ever came to your house, looked at the wiring and said, well, I see what the problem is. The problem is that your electricity is grieving. No, it doesn't grieve. It's not a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he can be grieved. We'll talk more about that in a few weeks. Hebrews 10:29 speaks of insulting. Some translations say outraging the Holy Spirit. Again, emotional language. Romans 15, verse 30 talks about the love of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves. It's another personal trait. Acts chapter 5, verse 3, it's a story, and you've heard it before, many of you, where Peter, the apostle, is confronting two people, a husband and wife named Ananias and Sapphira, for telling a lie in order to gain from the work of God. And in verse 3, Peter says, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what? We don't lie to impersonal objects. Lying implies there's a person on the receiving end of what we say. I mean, you can go outside and say to the grass, hey, grass, you're not green, you're purple. Well, it's pretty ridiculous, but it's not a lie because there's no person there to receive it. Lies are spoken to persons. But the really amazing thing happens one verse later in Acts chapter 5, verse 4, where Peter says to them, you have not lied just to human beings. You've lied to God. And that brings us to the next step. One verse after he says you've lied to the Holy Spirit, he says you've lied to God. What does that tell us? It tells us that this person we call the Holy Spirit is in fact God. Listen to this. Jesus claimed to be God. In John 8:58, Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. He's speaking about himself and using the covenantal relational name that God gave to Moses on the burning bush. He's declaring that he is, in fact, that God. Jesus forgave sins. Only God can forgive sins. Only the person who has been wronged can forgive sins, and all sin is against God. You remember the story about the paralytic man who was let down through the roof so that he could be brought in front of Jesus? And Jesus looked at him and said, son, your sins are forgiven. And the people around him said, wait a minute, who can forgive sins but God? And here's the thing, they were right. Jesus never told them that wasn't the truth. He was simply identifying the reality that he is God in a position to offer forgiveness. In Matthew 25, Jesus says that he will judge the entire world at the end of time. He clearly says that He is God. But now watch this. In our text, John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Let me tell you about the word another in the Greek language in which the New Testament was written. There are two words for another. One is heteros, which means different than. That's behind the word heterosexual. The other word for another is allos, which means identical to. When Jesus says that God will send another advocate, allos, another advocate, he says, God will send you one who's identical to me, whose nature is the same as mine. Now that gets us into the very confusing and complex doctrine of the nature of God, which is what we call the Trinity. In summary, it's explained in three statements. Number one, there is only one God. Number two, the Bible speaks of three specific persons, the Father, the Creator, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And third, the Bible tells us that each of these three persons is God. Okay, he's not three gods. He's not one God wearing three different hats and changing his hat. He's one God who is triune. That's why in one of the great hymns of the faith, we sing, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. So we've answered question number one. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a divine person. The Holy Spirit is God. Secondly, is this question. What does the Holy Spirit do? We don't have time to do a comprehensive review covering everything in the Bible, but we'll draw mainly from what we learn here from John chapter 14, but we'll pull in a few other passages. In verse 17, Jesus speaks of the Spirit of Truth. That's one of many names that the Bible uses for the Holy Spirit. We hear the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Grace, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Glory, the Holy Spirit. All these are the one names for the one God. But Jesus, in this passage, speaks about the Spirit of Truth. Why? Well, the reason is, if you look at John 16, verse 13, Jesus says this. He says, when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. What Jesus is saying is that God's Holy Spirit will speak to people and give them direction. Now, think about this. As Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, what is our primary source? Every week we say it when we describe the only perfect guide for our faith, our teaching, and our lives. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. That's true. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says this about the Bible. It says, humans spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 63, he says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and of life. In other words, Jesus is saying, these very words that I'm speaking, that are handed down to us through Scripture, these words were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the reason why we sometimes find our hearts strangely warmed when we read Scripture. There's something alive in this book. There's someone alive in this book who's speaking to us and guiding us to truth. And that's the Spirit of Truth. But there's more to the Holy Spirit than that. Listen to this wonderful passage from the end of Ephesians chapter 3. Starting in verse 16, Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches He, the Father, may strengthen you with all power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Notice he mentioned the Father, the Spirit, and Jesus. Then he goes on, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now he's writing to Christians, and he says, I pray that God, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Well, wait, they're Christians. Doesn't he already dwell there? And he says, I'm praying that you might know the love of Christ. Wait, they're Christians. Don't they already know the love of Christ? Yeah. But the Holy Spirit brings experiential knowledge. More than head knowledge, he brings heart knowledge. Jesus is at work in us, and Jesus is living in us and at work through us, but we don't feel it. Now, we don't live by faith. We live by faith, not by feelings, is what I meant to say. But sometimes we need feelings, don't we? We need something to help us sense his work in us. You know why? Because what so often happens, what so often holds us back from moving forward in our walk with Christ is not what happens to us, it's what we tell ourselves about what happened to us. We face a setback and we start telling ourselves, see, God doesn't love me, I'm not good enough, God never did love me, God never will love me. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside to argue with us and to say otherwise, to argue that God is at work even when we don't see it. Which brings us to one more work of the Holy Spirit. Comes from the very first name in the passage where Jesus said he's going to ask the Father to send another advocate. Some translations say another comforter or another helper. It's a complex word. I like advocate because it's a legal term. It's a person who represents me in court, like my defense attorney. Jim Ahlberg, you can tell us more about that if you want sometime. But Christ sends the Holy Spirit to defend us. There's a song that we sing. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. The Holy Spirit speaks to us to counteract the message that we're not good enough, that we are still full of sin, that we have not been forgiven. Jesus declares that his sacrifice makes me not guilty because my debt has been paid, and the Holy Spirit brings that message to defend us. Which brings us to the last point. How can you experience the benefits that the Holy Spirit offers me? Well, the hint is in the first description that Jesus used when he said, another advocate. If you want to experience what this other advocate offers, you know what we need to do? We need to turn to the first advocate. If there's another advocate, that means there was one before that. Who is that? Well, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, John tells us, we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The Holy Spirit calls each one of us to place our faith in Jesus Christ, to trust in his blood that has been shed for us, to stand on the rock of our salvation, to reaffirm over and over our faith in him, and to say, yes, Lord, I still believe. In spite of all the struggles I face, I still trust and I still believe. Let's tell him that right now. Lord Jesus, help us, though we have weak hearts and we are sometimes filled with doubt, help us to trust in you and to believe in the goodness of your plan for us. Help us to welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives. In fact, church, you can even say this prayer, Lord Jesus, bring your Holy Spirit to fill me up. Lord Jesus, bring your Holy Spirit to fill each of us up. And work powerfully in us for our good and for the blessing of those around us. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.